Want unbreakable ransomware protection while cutting storage costs in half or more? Myota's patented technology encrypts, shards, and spreads your data across multiple locations, guaranteeing security and recovery against cyber attacks. Try it free at myota.io. That's myota.io. Welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. Eric, welcome back to the Gumbo. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me again, Demetrius. Looking forward to it.
You know, we had you on before, and so I'm really curious to talk a little bit about some of the biggest threats to business continuity, also the cost per minute of being down, and another favorite as well is what every Chief Information Security Officer must know. First, tell us about Strata.
So Strata Identity, we're solving the problem that happens when you move to the cloud and you move to multi-cloud. And now you've got identities all over the place, you've got different providers. And so we created a new approach called Identity Orchestration that takes all of your identity providers and brings them into what we call an identity fabric. And once you have them all integrated, now you can plug and play all the different identity systems with all of the different applications you have. So that's the new thing is identity orchestration.
You also have a new book out, Identity Orchestration for Dummies. So break it down for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple things to think about with identity orchestration. The first is that when you think about all of the different roles that identity plays today, it's become front and center with virtually every zero trust architecture that people are deploying. And, you know, that's because we need to replace the perimeter. And perimeter in multi-cloud just doesn't play the same role of protection as it used to. So now you need to focus on the identities. Well, what happens when all those identities are moving from one cloud to the other? Some of them are part of the company, some are external users, and you have a lot of complexity. So we looked at the opportunity to rethink how to organize all of the different aspects of identity, what people initially called the three A's, authentication, access, and audit, but now that's expanded to seven A's, which are access, authentication, audit, and attributes, authorization, and administration, what people call governance. Mm-hmm. And now the new seventh, which is availability. And so when you think about all of those disciplines of identity, how do you bring them together? Because a lot of times organizations will use something from one provider and use other things from another provider. And so orchestration is a way to really pick and choose what kind of provider or technology you want at any of those individual steps in the identity lifecycle. So you can think about it as orchestration, similar to the way that orchestration works within compute, and people use Kubernetes, or you think about infrastructure as code, and people use Terraform for infrastructure orchestration. And we've applied this notion of orchestration mm-hmm. to not replace the identity providers, but to coordinate how people use them and make them work together.
I'm really surprised that you were able to remember all seven of those things. I was sitting here counting with my fingers, just hoping you got them all right, because I couldn't help you with the next one. Now, what about SAML, Security Assertion Markup Language? Right. So I hate to just throw an acronym out there, not really being able to kind of get into it. It was groundbreaking in making it easier for users to move between websites, you know, without constantly having to log in. Now, what do you think is the next big leap in identity management, even more seamless, especially across multi-clouds?
Yeah, well, SAML was a really groundbreaking innovation in the late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, me and some others, we got together and we said, hey, how do we build a standard that everyone can use? And it's now powering the biggest clouds and making it easy to connect different identity domains mm-hmm. and applications. When we look at, it's been running over 20 years now. And so to your question of what's next, I really see the role of abstraction layers coming in as what's next. And I think of the notion of abstraction and orchestration as what VMware did for compute, right? They created a virtualization layer. And that's in essence what's happening with identity, with orchestration, is now we have a new abstraction layer that allow you to decouple your applications from all of your identity providers. Why would you want to do that? So you have choice and you can move your applications and your workloads to whatever cloud provider that makes the most sense. And you don't have to rewrite all of your applications to do that. So I think the real next interesting thing is going to be, how do you, once you have this layer, how do you move policy between those different clouds? Because you can imagine if you have access control on cloud A, and then for whatever reason, you want to move your workload to cloud B, that doesn't necessarily mean that you want to have a different policy. So being able to make the policy portable from one cloud to the other, or one identity provider to another, is the role of policy orchestration. Mm-hmm. And we've been working on a new standard there with the Cloud Native Computing Foundation called Identity Query Language, or IDQL. And that's a simple way to make your, like the Rosetta Stone, mm-hmm. but for policy. So making it easy to take a policy out of one system, convert it into an open standard, and then convert it into another proprietary format in a secondary cloud. So really making it easy for people to move things around because the policies are now portable. So we're seeing a lot of interest in that.
So how far along are you with the CNCF? And I know that process is very extensive. In order to, you have to go through all this rigorous testing and documentation and sandboxing, and there's a pretty lengthy process in order to be fully vetted when you're talking CNCF, right, in these projects.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The thing is, we started this process about 4 years ago.
Wow.
And today, you can go on to the CNCF website, the same place that you get Kubernetes, the same place that you get Open Policy Agent, and you can download a reference implementation of IDQL through a free software open source called Hexa, H-E-X-A. So it's validated, it's approved, and we're in that sandbox stage within the CNCF. So we've got a lot of interesting organizations that are using it that helped us co-develop it. Really, Demetrius, and that was the fun part of it, was working with our peers, other vendors, but also the industry, and saying, hey, look, if we are going to build this, we need it to work for you, and because we're not making a product out of it, we're making it a standard.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of interesting input from a wide variety of organizations, and they're all listed on the website as well. So some banking, some manufacturing, some identity companies. And so now we're taking this whole work and moving it into some early conversations with the OpenID Foundation for what's called AuthZen. So it's a format very similar to how SAML made things interoperable between identity providers. AuthZen is going to standardize the policy for authorization between different providers. So it's early days on the AuthZen side, but we're really excited about the direction that it's headed.
So AuthZen, is that something for developers or just security engineers or SOC analysts, or is that something that can be explained to the highest levels, like a CISO or someone like that?
I think it's a really... So here's the thing with authorization, right? And let's start with the definition of the term.
Okay.
You know, authorization is typically called fine-grain authorization, sometimes referred to as entitlements. But this is really what can Eric do within an application. And that's different than, can Eric access the application in the first place? So metaphorically, if access controls determine whether you can go into the front door, authorization has to do with what you can do inside of the building. Can you open the refrigerator? Can you, you know, use the kitchen? Things of that type. And the way that authorization has evolved, it's really had to become externalized from applications. So to your point about who cares about this, developers care a lot about this, because up until now, they've had to build authorization inside of each of their applications. And that makes it difficult if you need to make a change from one type of system into another. So as you externalize authorization from your applications, you're saying that the application doesn't have to worry about enforcing whether or not someone can perform something inside of the application, but instead it calls an external system. And that's where things get tricky, because now what system is it going to call out to? And if you call out to something using a proprietary protocol, then you're locked into that authorization rule engine. But by standardizing the interaction between the application and the authorization provider, now you can swap those different authorization providers out. So maybe one group in a company likes authorization provider X, but another group uses Y. In this model, it wouldn't matter. They could both use whatever they want, because we're consistently using a standard to call the outside system and say, can Eric authorize a type of transaction? Can I perform a certain kind of action? So it's going to help developers, but it also goes further up into architects, where architects, that they may like one stack over another, and knowing that there's a standard, no matter what technology stack they use, is going to make things a lot more flexible and give them more choice. And then ultimately, at the highest level, when you're thinking about risk, this is a way to externalize and put visibility into the transactions themselves. So instead of having a black box, this application does transactions, now you can start to see within that, oh, it's Eric doing this kind of transaction, and be able to identify different types of risk, maybe large transactions or transactions that are happening in a different geography or with an external partner instead of an employee. So I think these kind of things don't just help developers, but they help architects and they help anyone who cares about risk management.
Is this similar or different from like Entra ID, Active Directory, and Okta? How does AuthZ, is there any similarities, or is this something in addition to those things, or is this something that replaces those?
So this would be the way that you would communicate from an application to those systems.
Okay.
So those systems like Okta, one of the functions, I think it's a feature or a product, is an authorization rule engine. Mm-hmm. Microsoft has one as well, Microsoft Authorization Services, and it's part of the Entra family. So really what we're saying is that here's a standard way to call out to those systems and say, hey, it doesn't matter if I'm calling Okta or I'm calling Microsoft, okay, I need to know whether Eric can perform a certain transaction. So it doesn't replace it. It makes it easier to mix and match those different authorization providers.
Okay. So you had to feel that this was needed in order to spend the time developing it and building it over the last, 4 years? And this had to be something that was really worth it. Are you gaining a lot of traction from it, or is it not quite out in the wild completely?
With work that we started 4 years ago is IDQL, the identity query language, and we built the reference implementation called Hexa. And that's been available for about 2 years now, when we got through the initial spec and made the software available about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the AuthZen stuff is a new effort, and that's just getting started. So, and that's not something that we created. We're just bringing this reference architecture so that we don't have to start from scratch to solve this policy problem, because AuthZen requires a authorization mechanism. So we're proposing to use this very open, very easy, very flexible IDQL as that protocol. So it's kind of depending on what problem you're looking to solve, you can go with the Hexa software, which has been tried and true, a lot of interesting enterprise deployments. But also, if you're looking to do stuff more in the OAuth and OpenID Connect world, Auth Zen is going to be interesting, but it's got a little bit of ways to go before it's ready for general consumption.
During my research, I saw, so from cruise ships to military operations, you've also highlighted some of the most extreme environments where I am, so identity access management can be disrupted. Now, what's the most unusual identity-related disaster recovery plan, let's say, that you've ever came across?
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. I think one of the things to start with is a definition of continuity or resilience for identity. And the reason that we focus on it is because when you think about your identity providers, they're tier zero services. And what that means is if you don't have identity and security, you can't turn on your application. So it's on par with your electricity and your bandwidth, right? You don't never want to have your applications unsecured. So when you start to look at the importance of identity services being up and running, you start to realize, shoot, if my identity system failed, I'm going to be offline. And so we invested in a capability to fail over from one identity provider to another in the event that there's an outage, whether it's natural, man-made, or otherwise like a cyber attack. So this is where the failover really comes to be a hot topic, especially over the summer. I think when there was the CrowdStrike outage, it was not an identity outage, but what it highlighted was how many systems have single points of failure. And identity is also one of those critical systems that has had, up until now, been a single point of failure. So that's kind of the state of things. And the most common of the failovers that we see is failover from the cloud back on premises. Mm. And that's if your network connection had an outage or, you know, something went wrong and you need to keep your stores up and running and so forth, or your manufacturing lines producing, you know, whatever you make. The second most common is from one cloud provider to another. And so that's kind of failover from cloud to cloud. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of reasons why that happens, but you know, those are the two most common, cloud to cloud and cloud to prem. Now, the most interesting one, I would say, is working with the defense industry. And there's an acronym for a use case called DDIL, and that stands for disconnected, disrupted, intermittent, and low bandwidth. And so, like you would imagine, there's a lot of ways to think about an acronym. Mm-hmm. But really what we're talking about is how do you keep identity operations working in really hostile environments that are very unpredictable? And, you know, it doesn't have to be in a defense setting. Could be like a cruise ship, like you were suggesting. Yeah. You know, and what happens in a cruise ship? When the cruise ship is at dock and you're onboarding and offboarding all the customers and they're going on their cruise, like you're dealing with thousands of identities that come and go, right, like once a week maybe. And when you're on the ship, that's when you use your mobile phone to access all of the entertainment. There's a data center, mm-hmm, on these cruise ships. So what happens when the ship debarks or disembarks and is now at sea and it doesn't have access to a lot of good bandwidth? At that point, you want to be able to have that identity operation not checked in the cloud,
right,
checked in the cruise ship. And so that's an example of where you may want to intentionally fail from the cloud over to the ship. And maybe failure is not the right word for it, but disconnect, mm-hmm, from the cloud and focus on what's operating on that ship. Go along your cruise, people access the apps, they do what they want to do. Then the cruise ship comes back to port and now it connects to the cloud, brings down the new passengers and offboards the passengers who just finished their trip. So that use case has been, you know, when we first were working on this problem years ago at Strata, people thought, well, that's not a market. I said, well, you know, and actually the cruise ship, maybe there's not a lot of cruise ships and there's even fewer submarines. But yeah, the thing is, if you design for a very tough use case and you build it from the beginning, then when you run into that situation, you're not retrofitting something, you're just able to work as designed. And so this was an investment that we made almost 5 years ago that now is really starting to come to the surface because people are realizing, oh, shoot, we didn't have a way to do this. And we're really excited. I mean, there's stuff that we can't talk about due to the classified nature of certain use cases, but we're really excited to see how this new distributed model of an identity fabric running in multiple clouds can be used to support some really interesting use cases. So, yeah, I'd say that's the most interesting one.
Yeah, that is interesting. I never thought about that. I've taken a couple cruises and I just get on and, you know, try to have all of my documentation and passport together, but I never think about the process of checking in, coming back on board. I mean, all of that, if you think about it, everything now is digital, right? But before I let you go, how can Gumbo listeners get access to your Identity Orchestration for Dummies book?
Yeah, that we would love for the audience to visit strata.io, and that's spelled strata.io, and you can download the Identity Orchestration for Dummies book right off the front webpage. And I think your audience is going to love it. We've gotten really good feedback because it's not really a marketing thing. It's more of an education thing as a way to understand the new concept. And hopefully you can get some really good actionable ideas out of that and be successful with multi-cloud identity.
So Eric, before I let you go, I also want to let all Gumbo listeners know that we are on YouTube now. So just check us out on YouTube, Data Protection Gumbo. And also the group that I run on LinkedIn, it's called Backup and Recovery Professionals. There's 26,000 people in that group. So feel free to join because we're having conversations similar to the ones that we're having right here on Data Protection Gumbo. So Eric, once again, thank you so much for being a guest. And we'll have to maybe get you back for a third time because third time is a charm.
Yeah, that'd be great. Maybe we'll work it from a cruise ship. We can do a segment at sea.
I would love that. All right. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Demetrius.